Okay, we have an important message to share. Amy and I are here. This one is entitled Purging into the New.
Yes.
And instead of forging into the new, we're actually purging into the new.
Right. Surrender.
As it pertains to the awakening that humanity's in right now. We've said this for several years now, that we really believe that we're in this great awakening already. And this doesn't look like a religious one. It looks more like what you're going through right now. And we're going to describe that. So, you know how you've heard the term dark night of the soul. One person calls it the dark night of the ego, which we really like. Yeah. Because if you think about it, your ego, our ego, is being dealt with big time right now and has been over the years. Oftentimes in spiritual communities or Christian communities, we call that the devil trying to attack us.
Yeah.
But if you have any level of wisdom or discernment about your life, which many of you do because you're listening to this, is that you understand that it's not the devil chasing you down every 5 minutes. It's really our ego being dealt a death blow in many ways. And so what we're talking about now is the purging. And think about this, and I'll share an example of what's happened in my life, and then Amy will share too about what we've been going through. Is think about when something's stirred up. You know, Amy makes a lot of yummy tasting shakes and healthy ones.
Yeah, healthy smoothies.
And she uses a Vitamix. And if you don't know what that is, it's one of the most powerful blenders on the planet. It's awesome. It'll grind everything up. But anyway, she puts all these ingredients in there and it stirs the pot. It stirs the pitcher of what is in there. It blends everything together, and then it comes out tasting a certain way.
Yeah, completely different flavor.
Completely different.
Than individual items.
That's right. And so when something's being stirred up in our lives, the sludge, if you will, it's there for a purpose. And what God is allowing to take place right now is this stirring the pot inside of us, so that the cleansing waters, the purity of the river flowing, rivers of living water flowing at us, can be actually seen and tasted.
Yeah. So taking the lid off, kind of like the blender, where if it's stirring and you don't have the lid, if you have the lid on, it's keeping everything in there. But if you take the lid off, that stirring's going to shoot it all up and out. It's a purging.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of an example of, think about the things that you're thinking about right now. Think about your mind and how it's been, quote, playing tricks on you. What that is, and this has happened to me, and I thought I was going a little crazy, was start all of these thoughts about the past, some of the things that I've done, good and bad, would come flying through across my mind, especially at night when I'd lay down to try and go to sleep. And I thought, why am I thinking those thoughts from when I was a teenager? Why am I thinking about the time that I crawled up into the ceiling with my friend in a hotel restroom to go find a hideout in there when I was like 15 years old? Why am I thinking about those kind of silly, crazy little things when I thought that was done with? Have you ever thought those type of thoughts? Well, if you have, what's happening is there's a stirring for the purge. The purge that's taking place, and it's really an awakening. If you sit there and observe those thoughts and not hold on to them, let them pass by, then you're actually awakening into the next arena or the next season of awakening in your life. It's preparing you for something wonderful. And so if you look at it that way, you're going to see things much differently. Oftentimes when we see bad things cross our mind and they're like, whoa, where did that come from? Or even good things. And you're like, why am I thinking of stuff when I was like 10 years old?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that is you're being unconditioned. You're being purged.
Of the deep-rooted seeds that were there.
Yes, the deep things that were there. And oftentimes what we do is we look at those things and we begin to dwell on them.
Or feel shame.
Yeah, feel shame. We begin to dwell on them. And then before we know it, we're down a spiral, downward plunging, if you will, into this abyss.
It's trying to hook us into like an old identity. And that's kind of the thing. You know, it's kind of like when you're about to marry the person you want to marry and all the old boyfriends start to surface and try to contact you, or the old girlfriends surface and try to contact you and they want to come to your wedding, or it resurfaces all these old emotions and soul ties that you had with other people right before you're going to make the plunge into the new. And so when you, because everything's getting stirred up, and so all these old seeds that you thought were long gone and they were dormant, or it's coming up and out again, like the cap is pulled off the blender so that the swirling can allow that stuff to come up and out. And it's going to be messy at first. But God comes in with the cleanup crew if you will allow and surrender to the process.
Yeah, but if you put up, the opposite is true. If you put up resistance by rebuking the devil or rebuking
the
thoughts, yeah,
suppressing.
Then what's going to happen is like a steam pot, it's going to blow the lid.
Yeah.
And if we do the blame game, if we do blame shifting, if we start going into this warfare mode and rebuking the devil every 5 minutes without discerning whether it is, in fact, a dark entity attacking us, or if it's, you know, 95% of the time it's going to be this great purging that we're talking about. And we, if we throw up resistance saying, listen, I'm fighting against this because I don't want to think these things, that's a natural reaction. I don't want to see it. I don't want to think it. I don't want to feel it. When we do that, then we're actually prolonging the purging process. And that can get into years and years of this mad cycle of thinking these same thoughts. And even worse, because... Yeah, and then we wonder why we're stagnant. We wonder why we're not... We don't feel like we're moving anywhere, going anywhere. The truth of the matter is that God initiated this. And God is the one that is actually doing this awakening and this purging in us. And what's our job in that? Not to resist, but to observe. To watch like a third person, because you're not your thoughts.
Yeah.
Did you know that? You're not. We're not our thoughts.
You have a free will choice to choose to relive them or to let them go, to bless and release. And not create them. Thoughts are kind of like the ticker tape all the time with the stock exchange. It's fluctuating, highs, lows. You know, you can choose, pick, make a bid on them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a free will choice. The same with your thoughts. You have a free will choice of what you're going to invest in and call up and take home and all that kind of stuff. And so I know you guys know this, but God is trying to unearth an old identity, because that's what's passing in this great awakening. You're waking up into the next stage of your full potential. It's, you know, the same story of the age-old butterfly. You're no longer the caterpillar, and God's trying to woo you and draw you. The Holy Spirit's wooing you and drawing you into the cocoon. You got to let go of the old thought patterns and habits and stuff that's keeping you at the caterpillar level.
Yeah, that's good. You know, when you're talking about thoughts and the thoughts coming and going, you know, that the actual purging is to purge our mind so that we can have the mind of Christ. And when you think about, and that's really an awakening. That's awakening to the mind of Christ. And so when you think about taking every thought captive under the obedience of Christ, what that really means is we're looking at these thoughts that come by our screen like the ticker tape. And we're not taking them captive to hold on to them.
Yeah.
Taking captive simply means I'm observing and I'm letting them pass by.
Yeah.
And that brings me into more of the mind of Christ. And so that's taking every thought captive under the obedience of Christ Jesus. Well, oftentimes people think that that's, okay, I'm going to take this captive and then I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to blame the devil for this. If you just let it pass by and not hold on to it, then what's happening is the water level of who you are becoming rises above that thought process, above that paradigm, above those negative thoughts, above those thoughts that have been ingrained in our conditioning, in our soul. And that causes a paradigm to shift into the new. And oftentimes what we think or we hear in Christian circles is, you know, renew your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's doubling down on scripture memorization. Well, that's effort.
Yeah.
That's resistance. There's nothing innately wrong with memory, scripture memorization, right? But we do this so oftentimes in order to feel safe and protected. Yeah. And so we're operating in fear.
Yes.
In the survival mentality, because we're seeing these negative thoughts, and so we want to double down so that we can throw some scripture at it and deal with it. But the fastest way we found to deal with this is let them pass on by, because we're being purged into the new, and it's God doing this. It's God initiated.
And it's also, you know, before you even came to earth, you agreed with the Lord on kind of the journey you wanted to have. Of course, you've got free will, and that free will incorporates you're going to either enjoy it or have a miserable time resisting it, because we all have that destiny pull within us that is trying to guide us and lead us into this growth maturity.
Yes.
And that's what's going on with this great awakening. We agreed to walk through this process. This was one of the big parts of why we came, to expand and grow and mature, you know, as a soul, as an eternal being. And so, but if you don't know what's going on, it can be really scary. And what's the first thing we do when we don't know what's going on and we get into survival mode? We hunker down, we double up, we, you know, lock ourselves in even harder and firmer and become even more rigid until we break. And so we have two choices. We can either, you know, hanker down, become stiffened our necks, and have some kind of hard knock break that breaks us into the awakening, or we can become more aware and quicken ourselves to be flexible and allow and be tuned into the Holy Spirit and be listening to Him as He's leading us forward in the unfolding, and to be flexible, you know, and let go of the resistance. And a lot of times the resistance is coming from our logic. It's coming from learned programs and behaviors. And so this is why it's so important that we're spending time each day, you know, meditating and being in the Lord's presence, so where we can recognize Him drawing us into the next. And you can feel the grace lift off the past season or the past stage you're in. So it's really important. It's going to make your path a whole lot easier on this journey, because it really is. This is the universal journey on earth that everybody walks through if they are so willing to. Some people resist it their whole lives, and they're still in stage one into their 80s because they just locked down, double-fisted so hard and could not let go of their ego, because that became their God, that became, you know, their pride. They just couldn't do it. And so God is not going to force you. I mean, He's gracious. He's gentle. He's not going to override your free will.
That's right.
But,
you know, it's really, when you look at this in your own life, think about what God is purging you of and moving you into. You know, all things work together for good.
Yeah.
We know that, right? So if you know that truth, but it hasn't become truth to you, then you're going to think that, well, God just abandoned me, forgot me. You know, I'm always going through the same cycle. The devil's out to get me. All these kind of things, right? But if you receive that truth and keep chewing on that, just knowing that, hey, wait a minute. No matter what I'm going through right now, it may seem or feel like God has abandoned me, but I know that's not true, because all things are working together for my good. And if you know that and you embrace it and then it becomes revelation to you, then you'll begin to see, wait a minute, I never initiated this to begin with, this whole thing called life. And especially, you know, when the scripture says that He sought us out first. He's the one that chases us down. He's the one that seeks us out. And when He does, then He's the only one that can give us that truth to be illuminated to begin with, in other words. And so just know that He's initiated these things, and because He has, He's going to see you through it.
Right.
And so this is what I saw. It's a really a great purging of the tree of knowledge of good and evil inside of us, so that we can come into the awakened life in the tree of life. You know, we have a taste, we've tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good, right? And you're born again, you're born again.
Born again.
You've been regenerated. You've had a sense of an awakening at one level.
Right. Yep, you have a degree.
So yeah, so there's the tree of life. You're in him and he's in you, and you've become one with him whether you realize it or not, because he already made up his mind a long time ago that he's going to become one with you and I. So the tree of life is there. It's in us. He's in us. But to see it in its fullness, to see and to realize that we're already in the tree, a purging has to take place, an unconditioning, if you will. Layer by layer comes off, and then we begin to see the beauty of what we're in. We're living and abiding, living and moving and having our being in the tree of life. Here's a picture I saw. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. People have a theology that is a reward versus punishment theology. And if you have that still operating in your operating system, then you're going to think that, wait a minute, everything's based on knowledge. I need to learn more scripture or I'm in trouble. I better keep all the rules. I better do everything right or I'm in trouble. You know, it's the right versus wrong mentality. It's the reward versus punishment. And so when you operate in that theology, then you're going to feel like, man, I'm on pins and needles.
Yeah, God is schizophrenic.
Yeah, if I mess up, I'm in deep yogurt, right? But it's just not true. That is not the gospel. That is not the genuine, authentic gospel. It's a fake. It's a counterfeit. So the picture I saw was many people were still hanging out in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it was black, like it had been charred or burnt up by a fire. And on the ends of those branches, there was still some fruit that looked halfway edible, but it really wasn't. But that's what you were used to eating.
The appearance thereof.
Yeah, the appearance of. As an appearance of godliness.
But the void.
But it's the void of the power, right? To make you transformed or changed. And so people are still eating it thinking, well, there isn't anything else. It's like eating conventional steak or conventional fruit. If that's all you know, you don't know that organic, beautiful, wonderful fruit tastes so much better.
Yeah.
Without any pesticides on it. And so they're still eating it. But yet the great purge is causing them to transition. It is the force change in one way.
Right.
Because God loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us in the tree of knowledge. And so there is a transitioning happen. God initiated. And so just know that this stirring up means that you're being cleansed. You're being purged in order for you to reach for the fruit on the tree of life that's already in you.
Yeah.
And when you reach for it and begin to partake it of as your new diet, the acceleration happens.
Mm-hmm.
The quicker the healing, the faster the money comes in, the effortless the provision, and on and on and on. That's the great awakening.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the Lord is so, so wanting to give us the best and a better quality. And it's, again, it's like being raised on formula, pardon the pun, but you don't know what's good, or like you've been raised on cooked, canned baby food that's pureed, and you don't know what a real fresh strawberry that's vibrant, full of energy and all that stuff that's going to nourish you tastes like. But back to the tree and eating this piece of fruit on it, we don't realize how far we have dumbed ourselves down and made ourselves so small, trying to hold on to the last bit, trying to convince ourselves that this piece of fruit still tastes good. Because that's what we've been taught to do, convince ourselves that, you know, it's living in denial, you know, in this whole religious scope of things, when God is trying to pull us out of the daycare, so to speak, of religion.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And into maturity, to out in the wide open spaces with him. And boy, COVID has sure launched that into an accelerated rate because of people not being allowed to go to their churches anymore, you know, or for a time period, or be able to meet in groups. And you know, he's trying to call us to cling to him again, you know, teaching.
And distill ourselves.
Yeah, distill ourselves.
So that we can observe the thoughts rather than beat ourselves up with them or be shamed by them.
Yeah.
Or to think that they're the devil every 5 seconds.
And actually be conscious of what we're eating. I think that's a huge part of the awakening.
It is.
Is to really wake up and be conscious of what we're allowing in us, what we're eating, How far have we dumbed ourselves down to convince ourselves that this is good for us? How much have we been resistant to the things that are really good for us? And, you know, what are the stories we're telling ourselves of why we won't allow ourselves to enjoy something? Why we won't allow ourselves to spread our wings and go where we know the Spirit of God has been telling us to go for months and even years, but we keep overriding it by our religious thinking or what somebody else has told us. Yeah. Each one of us has an individual journey and path to go on, and only you and the Lord know that. And you'll be living in torment, and I know a lot of you guys can agree to this, and a lot of us have adapted to this tormenting subconscious feeling vibrating in our body for months and years, because once again we've adapted to it just like the fruit, instead of saying, I'm going to listen to this wake up call, and I really am supposed to be living a life that feels good and that is fulfilling with the Lord and progressive.
Yeah, this is so good. I think there's a lot of juice on this fruit thing. Pardon the pun. and really think about this, you guys. How often have you heard in the body of Christ worldwide about people changing their eating habits and getting healthier, exercising more? You know, if we're conditioned, our taste buds are conditioned a certain way, and we enjoy that bad food, we don't want to hear that. Our spirit does, but our outer man doesn't. And so there's no difference really in that, spiritually speaking. You know, when you look at it, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, if you taste a piece of organic fruit and see that it is good, it's better than the conventional one because it doesn't have any flavor, then your taste buds will begin to adjust.
Awaken. Your taste buds will begin to awaken.
Begin to awaken. And it's like,
wow.
With the Lord, taste. When you taste, see, you have to taste first in order to have an awakened sight.
Yeah.
To see that it is good. So the is part is knowing with revelatory truth that it is good. See, there's a head knowledge and there's a heart knowledge.
Yeah.
Our head knowledge is like, okay, I'm going to eat a piece of fruit that's good for me. But then your heart is going, yes, yes, take it that way. Take it that way. Yes, eat more of it. Eat more of it.
But then your head...
is like, well, my taste buds haven't adjusted yet, so I'm going to go back to the old.
Because it's familiar.
It's familiar. Mm-hmm. And we know that some of this junk food does taste good to our fleshly man, our soul.
Because it's been altered. To drug you and lure you in.
But anybody knows that when they've made a change into eating clean, your body adjusts back to what it was meant to eat. And then you begin to crave the oranges. You begin to crave the fruit, the vegetables, and all of that. You begin to crave it, actually.
Yeah.
Because your body's changing back to what it was originally designed to eat.
Right. And it's now awake. It's actually had a time to heal enough to alert you when something is a counterfeit going into your body that is dead, the food is dead, or, you know, again, having the image but the lack thereof. And so I'm telling you, when you raise your vibration, when you raise the quality in your life, then, and you try to go back to the old, you're like, wow, I can't believe I used to, you know, partake in that or eat that or be around that, you know?
Yeah, it's like genuinely getting free from a religious spirit or a controlling spirit, abusive spirit. You know, when you get
bad company.
Free from that, bad company corrupts good morals, right? So when you get free from that, your eyes become open, you've awakened, and then you go, whoa, how did I ever partake of that to begin with? That's happening to a lot of people right now,
right.
Spiritually speaking and naturally speaking.
Yeah.
It's happening to people all over the planet. So in that regard, we are in the Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that religious people, and some of them are really well-meaning, okay? Believe that it's going to come in a certain way, a prepackaged way that used to happen back in the John G. Lake days or the Great Pentecost days and all of that. And really, if you think about it, because the earth has progressed so far, and because we live in accelerated times and knowledge is covering the earth, but the glory of the Lord is covering the earth even greater, we're in a place now where all of the religious ideals are being purged.
Yes.
In order to set humanity free, not just the church, but to set humanity as a whole free. That's why you're hearing people outside of the institution of church talk way more about love now. Talking about grace, talking about mercy, talking about awakening even. Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to have discernment to not label that as New Age, or not label that so quick to label that as a false love, or a false grace, or a false mercy, because God works through and in everyone. They just maybe have not been awakened to the reality of the non-religious Jesus yet, but there's an awakening there because they're made in His image. And so we have to pay attention to everything around us to see how God is working.
Right, and not out of insecurity or the uncomfortability of being in the unfamiliar and something new, is to not take that new revelation, that new draw that God's bringing you into, and categorize it. Because the only time we can ever categorize something is we're trying to match it up with an old program or an old story, or trying to pair it up with something that is familiar to us, so we can kind of stay comfortable instead of changing and purging. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, you're trying to put new wine in an old wineskin, and it's gonna break. And so I just encourage you guys, don't, when you see these new changes or you hear stuff, all the new age or just any lingo that, you know, triggers your religious doctrine, I just want to encourage you, let that go and ask God. Go right into the Spirit, because He wants to tell you His thoughts on things. So you don't just, again, through reason and logic or religious mindset, rule something out and categorize it. Do you know what categorizing means in the Greek? Is the accuser. It means accusing. I was like, wow. Of course, you know, it's good to categorize if you're filing and organizing, you know, for some company, but we're talking about when you go into judgmental mode and you're trying to categorize somebody's personality because how they're acting is new to you. And so, whoa, that's too much for me. I need to see, maybe that's a trauma, or maybe this is their type of personality. So you could try to categorize them when God's doing something new, you know?
You know, you know, it's like this. Years ago, we were part of this church that was more like, it was prophetic, like slash messianic kind of. And we didn't realize at the time what it was doing to us. We just, you know, we loved the people there, and there's some really good hearted people. But one of the things that was a constant theme with the leadership there was, don't you dare go over to somebody else's meeting because you might be deceived. Okay, and these were people that if we named their names, you'd say, how could you be deceived by that person? You know, I love them. Mm-hmm. The idea of this compartmentalizing and categorizing to say that this is truth or this isn't is left to the individual to discern, because Jesus is in the individual. So when we have pastors telling us, they may be good-hearted, you know, they may be well-meaning, okay? They may be saying, don't do this, don't listen to that, don't go there. Then what that automatically does is puts fear in the equation to say, oh, if I do that, I'm going to get burned, or I'm going to get deceived.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you guys, we know this firsthand, because this has happened in our lives, where we're told if we go do this, you're going to be listening to lying spirits and all of that. But if we hadn't have gone at the leading of the Lord, there's the key.
Right.
At the leading of the Lord, if we hadn't have bypassed that minister's voice and went at the prompting of the Lord, then we wouldn't have experienced the next level of freedom that we went into.
Yeah.
And so this is where discernment comes in your own personal walk. This is where the awakened state of what you're becoming comes into play, because He's not going to lead you astray. You're going to know the false, the counterfeit between the true.
Yeah.
You're going to know that yourself. You don't need to go to a pastor to ask, well, is this true or is this false?
Exactly. Now,
you may need to, if you're a baby walking around as a baby still in diapers for a little bit, but this is where we grow into the meat of the matter. Yeah.
And even at that, you know, when
exactly.
when you're first newly saved, boy, we just so want to encourage you.
Exactly.
Listen to the lover, the one who saved you to begin with.
That's
always,
right.
always be led by his voice above some leader or authority figure, because Jesus is the one that came and saved you. Bottom line, Jesus said, you have no need that any man teach you because I am here. But nonetheless, your brothers and sisters are here to help guide you along and encourage you. But the buck stops with Jesus' voice,
that's right.
really. Otherwise, you can be led astray because people have their fallen nature and they have agendas. Just like if John and I hadn't have had a personal relationship with the Lord strong enough to listen to his leads and prompts over some very respected leaders we loved and had come to be a part of their ministry. But we knew that after a time in, God was saying, I need you to move forward. And we were tormented because
yeah.
we knew what the Lord was telling us in his still, quiet, gentle voice inside. And on the outside, the minister wanted us for their ministry. There was agendas behind it. And so then they were starting to throw out stuff. If you leave, you're listening to lion spirits. If you leave, this is going to happen to you. If you leave, the anointing's going to lift. And
on and on.
Oh, man. It put us in such a, just a whirlwind of a, just
torment.
We didn't
know any better.
Because we were innocent. We were just young, and we really respected these leaders, and they were very, and it was even more challenging is they were very prophetic. And so you've got to really gauge, you know, are they really hearing God in that moment, or is that their agenda and ego and what they want speaking, you know?
Yeah, and this is where, you know, genuine intuition comes in, the promptings, the leads, whatever you want to call it, comes in, because this is where we had to dig deep and say, okay, we're going to follow that leading of the Lord over this person's voice, because we knew that it wasn't the way to go listening
for
to
us.
Their voice
for us.
And so we had to really discern that. And sure enough, it was God leading us out.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to discern that for yourself. But
it's part of the growth.
It's part of the
yeah.
growth. But when it comes back to this purging, you know, rather than running to some spiritual warfare book or seminar or conference, when you see these things cross your mind, these negative thoughts or these thoughts from the past, and rather than going to another sozo class or a cleansing streams or getting prayer for deliverance because you feel like you have some demon tormenting you from some girlfriend that you had when you were 16 or boyfriend when you were 17, this is simply God purging the deep cells, if you will, of your spiritual
yeah,
insides, your memory banks, so that, and he's renewing your mind. That's how he's doing it, so that you become more mindful of the mind of Christ. And this is the awakening. This is awakening up into the mind of Christ, if you will, so that we can live and move and have our being in him
yeah.
and live from a place of peace and rest rather than survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? Again, we'll remind you again, when you see these thoughts, when you feel the stirring in you, see these thoughts, and when you feel these thoughts of, oh my gosh, what was that thought that flashed in front of me that made me think that I want to hurt somebody, or these flashes of these perverted images or whatever they are that you struggle with, it could be a whole range of things, you know, like spending too much. I'm going to go on a shopping spree and spend all my money, and you're like, whoa, where did that thought come from? Well, just know that it's not you.
Yeah.
You're the observer of these things. So stand back, watch them pass by. Certainly don't hold on to them and go max all your credit cards out because you have this urge to go spend all your money at the mall.
Right. And remember, you know, whatever you give attention to, you reactivate. And that's part of the test right there of your maturity is, are you going to let these things finally go by and shift your awareness onto something else? Or are you going to receive that temptation to just start mulling over that past hurt again, mulling over the incident that happened and giving and reactivating it? Then you're going to have to go around the mountain again. And so this is the test of maturity. This is your awakening where you're stepping back, now observing it, and saying, that's not who I am anymore. That's not my identity anymore. Yeah. I don't need to go there anymore. I'm not going to give that thing my attention. I'm powerful to choose. I'm powerful to choose my own reality. And you quickly shift your attention or distract yourself and move on to something else so that you don't reactivate it.
That's so good. So good. So the great purge is upon us. Just know that. Embrace it. Look at it and say, okay, God has me. He has me right now. He has humanity.
Yes.
And he has a purpose in this so that I can move into my life's purpose, so that I can move into the mission. See, and some of you have felt so deprived for so many years. We've felt that way.
Yeah.
Because of our wrong thinking or, you know, because
the
of our...
The unknown. The uncharted territory for us.
Yeah. And so we're all thinking there's something wrong with us or the devil's out to get us or... You know, all
we've
these crazy thoughts, we missed our call, we took a wrong turn. A lot of you feel that way. And it's an illusion. It really is.
That's
because
right.
The truth of the matter is that God either has you or he doesn't. And I trust us when we say this, he has you.
Yeah.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when that becomes truth to you, instead of just theory or a scripture verse, becomes truth to you, then you'll see that, whoa, wait a minute. This has a design and a purpose
right.
in order for me to come up and out of this to move to the next season of my life, which is more towards my life mission and purpose. See, if all of these things are swirling around our head and we keep following these thoughts into the merry-go-round of the next season and the next season and the next season, oftentimes we get caught in that cycle for years.
Yeah.
And when we do, then we start blaming or we start becoming depressed or we blame shift definitely.
Yeah.
But we become depressed and oppressed and then we wind up just staying eating that tree of knowledge fruit that
right.
tastes horrible to begin with. But then we're like, can I ever, will I ever? You know, those questions, will I ever see my dream happen? We know people in their 80s that are saying that right now. When will these prophetic words ever come to pass?
Right.
When will my dream ever happen? Well, the reason it's not happening is because they're stuck in the cycle of the purge.
Yes, they have not let go of their expectations and how they thought it should be. And this is a big, big part, guys, of the resistance we put up that delays things so long is we are so desperately holding on to our expectations of how we thought it should be, how we thought our life should be, how we thought the call should be, how we thought ministry should be, how we thought business should be, all these judgments and expectations. And if you want to unhook yourself from that resistance, you just got to let it go. Be okay. Let go. I remember, and you guys have heard me say this before, the Lord told me straight up, he said, you've got to let go of the expectations of where you think you should be right now at
yep.
this time in your life. Just release the judgments, release the expectations on your life, and just let me expand you and bring you. Because remember, we're only looking through a little pee hole of what we think our life should
yeah.
look like. And God's looking at the whole scale of things, and he's trying to bring us into our expansion. But we're like, no, that doesn't look like the picture I see in this little pee hole. This doesn't match. And so we keep resisting. He's like, no, you're seeing a dot on the whole map of things. And I'm trying to bring you into fullness. Isn't that what you keep asking me for?
Oh, man. You guys, this is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
This is so huge. And I just saw a relief come over many of you right now. I just saw, oh, man, that's it. Yes, it is. This is one of these key moments right now. Take this and receive it and begin to nurture it. Begin to let it massage into you what were these words that God is saying right
release
now to you through
yourself.
Us is so that, yes, release yourself from that heavy load of trying to make things happen.
Yes, in your
or,
own strength.
Or attaching yourself to the outcome at every turn, like it
yeah.
should have been this way. If I would have took a left and I feel like I'm going right, if I would have just should have, would have, could have, right?
Right.
That whole tormenting cycle, we got to let all of that go
Let the prophetic words go, trying to make those happen.
Oh, man, that's big, too, is we've often said lately that some of you gotten words 20 years ago that are no longer relevant, but you're still holding on to them as if the devil was holding it up, or you made some wrong choice or decision, and now it's like, when is it ever going to happen? Can I just tell you that that word that you got, may have been from somebody else's imagination, number one, or two, if you really felt it was from God, can't you allow enough grace and mercy to come in for God to change that to an outlook or a perception or a viewpoint that maybe your paradigm couldn't handle at the time?
Right.
And now it's different. It looks different, or it meant something different. You know, how many times have we gotten a word and then it finally did come to pass and you're like, oh man, I thought it was one way.
Right.
Why did you think it was one way? Because you had a level of understanding.
That's exactly right.
At that time. And you couldn't see it at the time that God was actually what he meant at the time.
Yeah.
See, 20 years down the road, you're like, oh, that's what that meant.
Right. And it also, you weren't built for it then. You have to literally be built for some of these prophetic words, and go through the process and the journey. It's like you could have the best intentions, right? I'm going to be a surgeon. Oh, just let me operate on you. I know it. I've got the best heart. I can cure you. I can sew you up. But you haven't had experience or training. And so you're not ready to be a match to that actual calling yet. And so it's like having the grace to actually walk through the development. It's a developing process for the whole picture and package to come together. So, I mean, we're not, hear us out. We're not saying, because I could feel some of you guys are like, what? Let go of my prophetic words? Those are the only things that have been keeping me alive on this journey. And we're wanting to encourage you, though. It's like,
let go of the perception.
Yes, let go of the expectations of how it should come about or how you thought you should make it happen. And let the Lord bring the open doors to you. All you got to do is just keep on being flexible, moving forward with the leads and prompts of your best friend, the Holy Spirit, and you will walk right into it. It's just, there's a time of development and there's a transition. This is what we're trying to get out for you guys, is you're being made right now. You're being developed so that you can enter into the fullness of this thing. And, You can't have the prophetic word in a caterpillar stage, so to speak. That prophetic word was made for the butterfly you. But see, when you first received it, you were in your head, you're in the caterpillar. Okay, I've got all these other caterpillar connections, so I'm going to try to make this thing happen with caterpillar so-and-so. And it kept falling flat, and the doors wouldn't open, and all this kind of stuff, because you were called to a way higher level and a different time frame. And so once you finally surrender into this, God can speed up the time. So be encouraged. Let go of the reins. Let go of the oars. Let his current take you. You're going to get there way faster and have a whole lot more fun. We need a whole lot more fun. God so wants you to taste and see that he's good. And I love the translation in the Passion Translation of this. So it's Psalms 34:8. And it says, to drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. And so here's a big part for helping lift the resistance. We'll end off here. But as to really start soothing yourself. Yeah, we're probably going to part two. But to soothe yourself, start enjoying the pleasures. Let God, this is a time where you got to just really let God love on you again. Without works, without agendas, without protocol. And just come into your authenticity. And let him just love on you and soothe you into the state. It's like floating on your back. No more resistance. Letting him be the current that takes you into the current trend of your own story.
Yes. So with that note, we'll end this one on part one. And then we do have more to share. I just have something that came up in my spirit that I think is going to help some people too.
Yes. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned for part two of the Purge. All right.